Millions of American Christians are preparing to celebrate Christmas and all of its attendant pleasures. Trees, exchanging presents, caroling maybe. But what about those who don't celebrate? It's a federal holiday and most businesses are closed. So what is Christmas like for the non-Christian? For that, I talked with three guests.
Noah Legends co-hosts the Scathing Atheist podcast. Hi, Noah.
Hey, Celeste. How are you?
Good. Rabbi Brian Glessman is the Jewish Outreach Coordinator of the Marcus Jewish Community Center of Atlanta. You need a shorter title there, Brian.
I think I do.
And Dr. Abbas Farzegar teaches religious studies at Georgia State University. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Rabbi, talk to me about what this means for families when this is such a almost universal thing in the United States. How is this especially for families who stay home? How do you deal with that?
I agree. I think that there is a lot about the season that's universal. It's about light. It's about us and providing light for the world. Everywhere I go, I see lights. I see twinkling lights. I see houses decorated in lights. I see lights on Christmas trees. So I believe that there's a common theme, and the theme is light. And the question should be for every one of us, what are we doing to bring light into this world? The world is damaged. The world is fractured. The world is in need of repair. So it's about sharing our light.
And Abbas, this, of course, it's one thing for if you're of Jewish faith, because oftentimes Hanukkah falls right around the same time as Christmas. But Ramadan ended quite some time ago. So for kids especially, this is not a time when they're celebrating a holiday.
No, it's definitely not part of the natural Islamic ritual calendar. But because we are in the United States and because nobody can really avoid it, you know, one is engulfed in the culture that they're in. So Muslim families typically take moments like Thanksgiving or Christmas to simply do what others do, and that is to convene and to get together and spend time with one another. And there may be reflection about who the Prophet Jesus was in the Quranic context and in Islamic theology. In the United States, you have kind of a particular situation. However, in the Middle East and in greater Muslim countries, Muslim-majority countries, you have a very strong Christian presence in just about every country, and it's part of Muslim identity to honor and respect the Prophet Jesus, and so it becomes a national holiday, it becomes a national conversation, and many times in places like Palestine, in Turkey, even in Iran, you will find national conversations on radio, on television, amongst families to visit one another, to celebrate, to honor even the Christians amongst them who are celebrating the birth of Jesus. I mean, it's something that a lot of people wouldn't recognize with their image of Islam or Muslim countries from this side of the world. But when you are in the Middle East, this sort of exchange and mutual respect is just part and parcel of the holiday season of Christmas.
Noah, he talked about convening for a meal, and I know that we have a couple atheists in our family, and sadly, the holiday time is an opportunity for others to try to convert them. I wonder how often this happens to you.
Well, you know, as an atheist in South Georgia, you tend to get used to that happening constantly, regardless of what day it is. But I think it tends to be quite the opposite in my experience, that Christmas, Thanksgiving, those family gatherings tend to be the times when people are the least likely to try to bring up those ugly subjects, or I shouldn't say ugly subjects, but those subjects that, you know,
that make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you think that is?
Because, again, I think that people get caught up, especially around Christmas, in the idea of embracing their fellow man. And I'm sorry for the inherent sexism in that statement, but I believe that people around Christmas, hopefully they buy into the themes of the holiday itself and remember that it is a holiday about universal brotherhood. And I think that that's something that we can all sort of embrace together, and I don't think that that's, you know, I think that that's something that pervades the holiday enough that when people are in the midst of the celebration, they're not generally thinking, I don't want this to sound negative, but they're not generally thinking of the religious aspects just so much as the universal aspects.
Yeah, if I could jump in there on a personal note, I was raised in a mixed faith family. My mother is from northern New Mexico, comes from a Catholic and Pentecostal background, and we grew up celebrating Christmas, and my older brother is a very proud evangelical now. And so all throughout our childhood, he would lead sort of grace at the table for Christmas, you know, for the Christmas dinner. And when I started practicing Islam as in my late teens, we sort of created a neutral ground where you would just leave the name Jesus out of the grace, and that was sort of, you know, fair game. But it never got in the way of us convening the table and really celebrating Christmas together. And still now, I can't help but get fuzzy during the holiday season and the Christmas trees and the lights and things like that.
Rabbi, how does the conversations go about the commercialization of Christmas? I mean, we're talking about a lot about the deeper themes, but, mm-hmm. you know, Christmas is also about Black Friday. Christmas
That's right.
is also about, you know, expenditures on PS4s and Xboxes.
And I have to say that I appreciate the Christmas popularity, and I appreciate the commercialism because it's caused us as Jewish people to find more relevance in Hanukkah. The fact is that Hanukkah for the Jewish community is a relatively minor holiday. And were it not for location in the calendar,
if it weren't so close to Christmas,
that's correct, then Hanukkah would probably be obscure. So I appreciate the commercialism because it's caused us to reevaluate and rethink the holiday. We're also able to use the opportunity to do good. You know, instead of eight nights of me, toys, Xbox, we can also take a night perhaps and give to others and do for others and create a charitable environment.
Many synagogues do a mitzvah day on Christmas. Explain what a mitzvah is.
Excellent. A mitzvah is an obligation or a commandment. It's mistranslated sometimes as a good deed. It's not a good deed. It's an obligation or a commandment. We're obligated to perform acts of support in this world, acts of goodness. One of the acts that we can perform really is helping our Christian brothers and sisters on Christmas, allowing them to have a day off. So Mitzvah Day provides an opportunity for us as Jews to work in the hospitals, to work in the nursing homes, and to provide opportunities for Christians to be with their families.
So walk me through a day, Noah, of Christmas. What do you generally do on that day?
Well, generally speaking, I would think my Christmas morning would be a lot like yours. I'll be with my family. I'll be with my wife's family, very Christian family. So I'll be smiling and nodding along and bristling through all the Jesus bits and taking it with a smile.
Do you sing carols even if they mention Jesus?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like I said, I grew up on that music and I never lost my love for it. You know, I also grew up in the 80s, so I sing a lot of satanic songs without a lot of thought to the lyrics in those either.
Are you talking about, like, Black Sabbath or something?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think
they have any satanic Christmas carols. I'm not sure.
Only if you sing them in reverse.
Exactly.
Paul is dead. What about you, Abbas? Walk me through a Christmas day for you.
Well, this Christmas, my wife will be doing, she won't call it a mitzvah day, but she'll be doing something similar where she'll be working at CNN during the daytime. And that morning, I'll be spending time in a retreat, actually, with a Muslim community organization to kind of get our end of the year and upcoming year planning done. And then in the afternoon, we'll all convene with our, you know, with our family and whatnot. But we basically take it as a day off.
And you know, this is one thing that gets overlooked all the time. While all the Christians are taking Christmas Day off, it's all the other people of other faiths and no faiths that are filling in and working on those days.
Yep.
But what about the stereotype that you're going to find all the Jewish families in a
Chinese restaurant? Yeah. And the reason for that stereotype, it's actually not a stereotype. It is true. All the Jews are gathered in Chinese restaurants. It's a religious, it's a mitzvah, a religious obligation.
it's an obligation.
Just kidding. Because Chinese restaurants are traditionally open on Christmas, a lot of Jews do go to Chinese restaurants. They see a movie first and then go out for Chinese dinner. But it is the one day on which during which the entire culture is closed. It's off. And it's so wonderful and peaceful as we begin Christmas Eve, as the traffic stops, life stops, and wake up the morning of Christmas. It is really the most relaxing, wonderful morning. I truly appreciate Christmas. Every office is closed. Every business, every grocery store.
I have to say, we went to Disney World a few years ago on Christmas Day, and you would have thought that it was Muslim and Hindu Day at Disney World because everybody at that park was from another faith or another part of the world. It was hilarious.
That's Abbas Barziger. He teaches religious studies at Georgia State University. We also heard from Rabbi Brian Glessman of the Marcus Jewish Community Center of Atlanta and Noah Legends of the Scathing Atheist podcast.